Imagine the podcast Serial and the television show Lost had a love child, and that love child was conceived while watching an Andrei Tarkovsky film. Tanis is that love child. What is Tanis? Well, Tanis is a brand new podcast. It's a docudrama about an ancient and mysterious myth, perhaps the last genuine mystery of the information age. Tanis is what happens when the lines of science and fiction start to blur. So download the podcast The Guardian, and we all love The Guardian, calls compelling and wildly addictive at itunes.com/Tanis. That's itunes.com/Tanis or tanispodcast.com. Tanis, it's television for your ears. Have you bought your tickets yet for the Now Hear This Festival? Have you? Seriously, if you haven't, why not? Do you not even know what it is? Well, let me tell you, people, the Now Hear This Festival is only one of the best podcast festivals ever put together, and it's all going down in Anaheim for 3 days, October 28th through the 30th, and we, How Did This Get Made, will be there. That's right, Saturday the 29th, we will be there doing a big show, and I want to tell you that you don't have to just buy a 3-day ticket. You can buy a 1-day ticket. You can come any which day you choose. Just go to nowhearthisfest.com to get tickets and information about the full lineup, the hotels, and more. They're going to hook you up. They're going to make it easy for you to get down there. If you live in LA, it's quick. If you live in Mexico, it's quick too. Do we have a lot of Mexican listeners? I hope so. We want to branch into the Mexican podcasting community. Now, let me tell you this. If you use the offer code BONKERS when you buy tickets, you're going to save 25% on a 3-day pass, and let them know that we sent you, okay? So here's what I want to tell you. Now Hear This Festival has the best lineup ever. I'm talking Comedy Bang Bang. I'm talking Crybabies. I'm talking The Moth, Never Not Funny, Super Ego, WTF, Improv for Humans, Lore, Criminal, Dinner Party Download, Hollywood Handbook, Cracked, Us, Spontanation, Jordan Jesse Go, Bitch Sesh, and The Canon. They'll all be there for 3 days in Anaheim. Come on down. And when you come on down, use the offer code BONKERS to save 25% on a 3-day pass. Or if you can only come down and see us, just go to nowhearthisfest.com and get your tickets for us on Saturday the 29th. And I believe we're going up the last show of the night. We hope to see you there. Now Hear This, Anaheim. It's a classic story about Dampiers and Morois and Strigois and Strugovsky syndrome. You know, real high school stuff. We saw Vampire Academy, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Did you know you wonder how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am Paul Scheer, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host Jason Mantzoukas.
What is up, Paul? How are you?
I am very well. We still are missing out on June Diane, who is in maternity leave still. She'll be back soon.
Great.
Potentially for the next episode.
I mean, she missed a real winner here. June is, by the way, winning across the board right now that she did not have to watch this.
She has so far missed Stealth, Vampire Academy. She's missed some good
her
classics.
Life is amazing. I worry she may never come back because she's going to be like, oh, I just realized without hours and hours of terrible movies in my life, my life is immeasurably better.
Her life is getting better. She's going to leave me and take our children.
What are you saying? Is this an announcement?
Yes.
Is this an exclusive?
She's going to find a man who watches good movies and then leave. Well, we have two guests today, two amazing guests joining us to talk about Vampire Academy, a film that is destined to go down as a vampire movie.
That's what it's destined to go down as? It is destined to go down as a vampire movie
about vampires. Yes. That's probably the one thing that you can inarguably say about this movie.
Yep. You can definitely say that. It is a movie in which there is vampires.
Our first guest, a super funny comedian, writer, director. He has a brand new show coming up on TBS called Search Party this November. Please welcome Michael Showalter. And welcome, Michael.
It's an honor to be here. This is my second go round.
Yes, you're right.
We did Gymkhata.
Yeah. One of the greats.
I forgot about that. Yes, one of the best. And, you know, Gymkata, still no one's taken a bite out of the remake of that. I actually,
it's funny because I don't even remember. Oh, no, now I do. I do remember.
Village of the Crazies? Do you remember Village of the Crazies?
And he's like a spy and he's being trained how to fight bad people with gymnastics.
Exactly. It's like a pretty fantastic episode.
Yes.
Great movie. A great movie that still works. We are also joined by a hilarious stand-up comic who is appearing on the new season of The Fall, which is airing right now in the UK. Please welcome Aisling Bee.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hooray.
I sort of wish I could get pregnant so I could go on maternity leave and then I wouldn't have had to have watched Vampire Academy.
Before we break down the movie, let me just give you a brief overview of what's going on. It's a movie about a school for vampires that's not as sexy as Twilight, not as dangerous as The Hunger Games, and not as childlike as Harry Potter, and it's all things confusing. Well, Vampire Academy, to me, I'm excited that you both are here because there's a lot to unpack in this movie.
You think?
I really didn't know what it was going to be about. With a title like Vampire Academy, I was like, I wonder what this will be about.
It's trying so much to be all things at all times.
There's like 25 storylines happening. Every line of dialogue is an exposition line of just plot.
I feel like just even before we even start talking about it, to play this clip of, this is how the movie starts, with exposition, right at the top. Like, and this is the level that you're going from minute one.
My best friend Lyssa Dragomir is a royal member of a magical ancient race, the Moroi. The Moroi don't wear black capes, turn into bats, or sleep in coffins. Daylight annoys yet doesn't kill them, and they don't sparkle either. But yes, like most creatures with fangs, the Moroi live off blood. But they don't live forever. That's why they need us. My name is Rose Hathaway.
Yeah.
And like these other guys, I'm a Dampier. We are the protectors, the guardians.
Still going.
I can eat a bacon cheeseburger or whatever else I want.
Yeah.
Dampier lives are dedicated to protecting the Moroi. We live by one simple expression. They come first. And then there's group number three.
Oh, okay, so it's still going. In case you're wondering, the whole movie sounds like this. Even when people are in dialogue with each other, it's this weirdly expositional.
I love that as a tool, though, in movies. What? You're saying that XYZ moved by XYZ over to ABC to get D? That sounds a little bit crazy to me. It's not crazy. It's what happened. Right?
There's a line of dialogue right after this in the beginning where the princess vampire says to her guardian, do you realize it's been a year since we left the academy, since the accident? Like,
you think that they're still
looking
for us?
Yeah, you were the only two people who it happened to, so she would be uniquely positioned to know it's been a year.
It is so clearly a book that has been translated to film, and they were like,
I think it's a bunch of books.
How are we gonna do this?
We have to get a lot
because what you just said, you're skipping over that at the beginning of the movie they have escaped from the academy. Like, we're meeting them after a whole movie's, like, several stories have already occurred.
Mm. And the characters are already established and the relationships are established, so you really...
The movie begins with a car accident.
Well, and a major event has occurred, which is that something... People died and now they've been living in a hotel or something?
Correct. Like, there's a car accident in the beginning, then it jumps a year into the future, and in my mind I was like, oh, well, they'll spend the rest of the movie kind of explaining the year that has been or why they spent it.
How did we get here?
You know, I was like, oh, that's interesting piece of storytelling. Yeah. Like, now jump ahead and you'll populate the past as you go. Nope.
See, that's, I think you're being quite unfair because maybe nothing happened. Maybe every day they just got up, got on with their week
I want to know what happened to, like, lead up to the car crash. Why were the parents killed? And I guess at the end it's like a drunk driver killed them. It was random.
But it's also
I love that it was a drunk driver as well, because it's just another message for the people back home not to drink and drive.
Well, they also have this thing that is crazy because the movie is called Vampire Academy, and the poster is like these two girls in like these like Catholic schoolgirl outfits to you know, for all intents and purposes. And the movie starts off with like this song, like "Live Fast Die," you know. It's like oh, this is gonna be like a cool like.
Great singing, and then, by the way, Paul,
thanks
great
so much.
Singing.
Oh, thanks. So, you know,
do you still have that record deal?
I'm working on
With Pharrell.
The studio's pushed it back a long long way.
Oh, really?
It kicked me out of the studio.
2057, wasn't it?
Yeah, they're pushing. We're talking about some stuff.
You don't want to rush that, though. You don't want to rush art.
Take my time.
Look what happens when people did rush art.
Exactly.
Vampire Academy.
Well, that is.
You want your album to be better.
I'm like Brian Wilson over here, you know, and I'm going to get it out eventually.
And also controlled by your psychiatrist.
Or Axl Rose.
I feel a little bit bad for them, though, because I do think in our industry, one must reward effort. And there's so much effort here. There really is so much effort. And
people
I kind of felt
trying.
It's so trying. Sorry, yeah. I felt a bit like, you know, if your mother goes, right, we're all going to go to and see your uncle's Amdram play. Nobody's allowed to have a comment afterwards. Nobody's allowed to say anything. But your uncle never got to go to drama school when he was a kid. He had to look after the farm.
Wait, is this
and
a
now
real story?
He's in a play. Maybe. And then you all have to go to your uncle's play and it's awful. But God loves a trier.
You know who's not trying in this movie is whoever did Gabriel Byrne's makeup.
Oh my God, Gabriel Byrne's makeup.
Gabriel Byrne is a Vincent, I believe, in this movie, and he is an old man. He's a very old man
who clearly worked at most 2 days on this movie.
Oh, easily, yeah.
Maximum. I mean, at most,
he's fulfilling the old man in the YA. He is the Donald Sutherland.
Yes.
He is the Jeremy Irons, like the old man in who's the bad guy. Basically.
But it's also clearly outside. Like we have Jeremy from 4 to 6.
Yeah,
is that his name, Jeremy? No.
Gabriel.
We have Gabriel from 4 to 6.
Yeah.
Let's make sure that like all the sets are close together so that we can just move him from one set to the next.
Sorry, Mike. Gabriel's running late, so we won't have much time to do his makeup. Just get him on set.
And the prosthetics went out the door.
Yeah, I feel like he also was like halfway through the prosthetics. He's like, you know what? It's fine. Let me just shoot this thing. Can I just go out? I have dinner at 7:30.
But I mean, there was so much to look forward to. Jolie Richardson, Gabriel Byrne.
Who didn't even make it. She worked breakfast to lunch.
She didn't even get lunch. She was in her car by 12.
She was out of there before lunch. It's true.
And it was her own outfit from home from Halloween that she was wearing. Jolie plays like the evil queen head vampiress.
Yes. And she showed up for about an hour. I mean, that was it.
But she does bring a bit of gravitas to it. I thought, you know what? Jolie's knocking this out of the park.
I feel like everyone is trying, but I don't know what is wrong, but something feels so irksome to me throughout the whole thing. I'm like, it feels like static or dead in...
Well, it's that nobody is actually having conversations. They are all just saying plot points to each other. There's no naturalistic dialogue.
But it's a movie it's a movie that clearly is a sort of laboratory. This whole thing is very lab created because it's very much a combination in a very scientific way. It's a combination of Harry Potter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The vampire
Twilight,
the popular
Twilight,
vampire,
yeah.
And Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Not Game of Thrones. The one with Jennifer.
Oh, Hunger Games.
Hunger Games.
Yes.
It's those three movies.
Yes.
Because they're training. There's like fight training.
Yeah.
Then there's the whole sort of like medieval feeling prep school
castle
vibe.
And yeah, all that.
Where they like, it's kind of funny and there's clicks and da da da.
It's trying to be like a high school movie, like a straight up high school movie,
yes.
Too. Like, and that's
like they're always saying, like, oh, I hate high school. Like,
yeah.
like all of the tropes of like a classic
yes.
high school movie mixed with Hogwarts, mixed with.
Well,
and there
like
was a big Clueless. There was even
well.
A big Clueless thing running mm-hmm. through it with the dorky girl who's
yeah.
turns into da da da.
And I also feel like it takes away all the fun of vampires to put them in a school for like it's like, well, now not only are you vampires, but you got to go to school, like you
yeah.
know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
And, oh,
yeah.
And it's like I could just see them being like, you don't understand. It's gonna be amazing. It's vampire school, so it happens at night. So like the
oh
middle.
Oh my God, John,
so
get
like,
that down. Put
lunch
it down the script.
Is at 2 a.m. It's wild. And I could see like studios being like, yes.
The
and,
cafeteria is yes. like humans.
Cafeteria
who
is
are
the
those people?
Yes.
That's
is
one
the best.
Sentence.
Yes.
I loved that. Was
the cafeteria
like,
is humans.
Who are those people?
Well, yes. Do you remember the line?
Yeah. And it was basically trying to fit it in. It was kind kind of like, and so now we have the classic cafeteria scene in the movie.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, they but say that. They do that all the time.
They say, like, every high school movie has a cafeteria scene, but it's humans plugged up to blood machines and they're just sucking on.
But
what's going on there?
It's humans that like vampire stories that then are plucked from their life for a year to be blood donors to vampires, and then their mind is erased after that.
But, okay, but within scene, they give a little nod. They go, I mean, it's kind of people who've watched too much Twilight.
Yes.
This isn't Twilight. This is real life. And you're like, oh, okay.
But if you get bit by a vampire, don't you become a vampire?
No, because this movie throws away everything that you know
everything
about vampires.
We held
and they kind
dear
of try
before.
And explain it in the VO, but it's like there's so much coming at you in this movie. There's so many rules. There's so much nonsense that it's impossible to track. Only, okay.
There's three things that we have. The three things that you need to know is there's a dampier, which are basically vampires, but they're good.
Yes.
They can.
That's what the princess is.
Yes.
And they're all English, which I thought was interesting.
Then there's the Morai, but the Morai are like, they're like if Buffy has Giles, that's what the Morai are.
They're watchers. They're called guardians, but they are basically watchers,
Yeah. And then there's the Strigoi, which are the vampires that we all know and love.
Yes.
And
ferocious, blood-sucking.
But dampiers can become Strigoi.
If they murder. If they commit murder, you become a Strigoi, something like that.
Or if they like let themselves go or put on weight or eat too much gluten.
If you get
like
fat, you become Strigoi.
Who's the guy with the long hair? Who's he?
Oh, that's
Dimitri?
Which one of the classifications?
He's a guardian.
He's a guardian.
The main girl, like
the good looking
Russian guy.
Does Tai Chi.
He was
at that scene at the end where he's doing Tai Chi is bananas.
At the very end, we're like, oh, he does Tai Chi.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, man.
He's so chill.
He's trying, like, he has, like, a Patrick Swayze from Roadhouse kind of vibe. Yes. Like, you know, he's peaceful,
and speaks very slowly.
Yes.
And
I like what Mike was saying. There's loads of moments in the movie where you wonder about the outside production of it. And at the start of this movie, he's a Russian gymnast clearly brought in to do some backflips, and they thought they might teach him to act and speak English along
and
the journey.
They did.
No, but see,
but
I
at
think
the start,
if you're talking
he
about,
talks like these.
But if you're talking about when he's
reading,
on the rings?
Yes,
but
yes.
I think that was a body double.
I think so.
I don't
too.
Think so.
I don't think that was
really.
When he took off his shirt, he was a little bit more. He didn't see.
He's a little bit
I think that
chubby.
Was, no,
he
I
is
think,
chubby.
Oh, I'm
he's
Mike. Fat shaming
him. I'm chubby. I'm just saying it's
doesn't give you an excuse to fat
shame. I'm not fat shaming him. I'm just saying I don't think he.
Just call him a chub.
When he took off his shirt, I was like,
He was morbidly obese.
Well, here's the thing. At the start of the movie, he has a scene where he's talking to the girl. And you know if you're to give someone who doesn't have any English something to read phonetically, and they just read it off a page. That's what happened with him. He goes, when you know we have to look after all the vampires, we got to be careful, have no life. And it's sort of, you're like, that doesn't make sense. Then towards the end of the movie, maybe this is when he started letting himself go, he actually starts speaking English a bit better and it comes out a bit more naturally and you're like, I love you. It's just a bit more.
Let's hear a little bit of Dimitri's voice here from the movie. Here we go.
I thought we brought this out here, away from there.
Dimitri, I know you must have heard some rumors.
All that high school demon stays back there. Not here. This is life and death.
It's like Tom Wiseau from the room.
She's learning English.
Besides the sun, this
we reward him.
Some people go to ESL or courses and he just took a movie.
Yeah, exactly. This was to get his visa.
But now the main premise of this movie is also a little bit weird because he is older and is her teacher. And they are in love.
How much older is he?
He's like 17,000 years older.
That's what I was trying to figure out.
And I'm not trying to even be sarcastic. This is the one bit I have a problem with in the movie. That the love, the meet cute between them is she's a 17-year-old, classic cute and sexy, and he's 16,000 years old and has never died.
Wait, is he really that
never,
old? 16,
yeah, he's like, I'm a lot older than
you. You're concerned about high school and dates. I have been this and that.
For years. Like, he is about 16,000 years old.
Okay.
So there's a slight pedophilic quality to which I don't think ever gets flagged up.
And it's like they do, you know, make out a little bit, sweet sassy molassy, and
but under a love spell.
Under a love spell, yeah. But it is a weird driving force.
Which is also a Harry Potter thing. Like, there's also spells and all this magic. Yes. Like, there's a lot of magic. They put magic into the world of vampires that doesn't exist.
It's a gumbo of plot because it's sort of like every vampire also has to pick their magic.
And Paul some are managing good at water. To work his favorite New Orleans.
So it's a gumbo. You gotta get in there.
Gotta get your magic.
Are you from New Orleans?
I'm always just trying to drop some New Orleans references in every one of the podcasts. You know, it's like, and you're gonna just keep on putting all the plots, and then the dams are gonna break, and it's gonna flood this whole
boat. Grigri, you know, they call Grigri, Grigri.
Yep,
that's magic in Creole.
Yeah, really.
I mean, this show originally, Paul wanted to do this whole show in Creole, and I was like, I just don't think we can.
I think there is an audience for it.
Well, you know, Buckwheat Zydeco big shout did out to the soundtrack Creole podcast. For the film.
Yeah, he did Zydeco also just passed. Beautiful,
and he just passed.
He just passed. R.I.P. Buckwheat Zydeco.
Can we talk about that scene, though, where that sweet sassy molasses? So basically, in this scene, there's a couple of things wrong with it. In this scene, our sassy protagonist, 17, arrives at her teacher, 16,000 years of age, Zdor, to basically get some help from him. And she has had a necklace put on her by the local trickster, Gabriel Byrne.
What, a $12,000 necklace. Yes. When they go, and by the way, there is a mall shopping montage in a movie. That is so oddly out of place.
But also, they haven't paid enough people to be extras. So in the background, you can see local members of the British public. This is clearly shot in England going, oh my God, is that, are they making a movie? Trish, get in the background.
I watched this movie and I'm like, they made this in Romania.
Are you serious?
I feel like this movie was made like in a very remote place.
With a bit of cardboard.
Just to save money.
Well, then they probably just had people walking around in the mall when they were shooting it.
Oh, without a doubt. There were, because you can see them in the background like leaning in.
But they can't ever figure out whether the movie is like a high school teen girl movie or whether it is like big magic kind of fighting evil.
Because she is saying like every high school movie has a cafeteria scene.
Oh,
very
commenty. Yeah. There's a lot of commenting going on, a lot of winks to the audience, a lot of that stuff.
And I would argue, and I think that, again, I often don't come down on performances, but I almost think that Zoe was too dry, because sometimes I'm like, they are jokes, but it was also played in such a way that you're like,
she was trying her best.
She made this movie work as much as it worked.
I wrote down, I was like, she carries the entire movie on her back because she delivers everything with confidence, but when
and is often in scenes with very wooden people.
Oh, 100%.
It's like she was given the wrong backpack, though. So she's running along, and until she got to the top of the hill, and she goes, finally, I can finish. I got to the top of the hill. And she opens her bag, and
there's
full
a dead
of
cat
poo
in it.
And a dead cat.
There's a dead cat in it.
Like, oh no, poo and a dead cat. These are the worst things.
It's like you feel like that idea that, like, yeah, she's just
So when she discovers the backpack with her dead cat in it, okay? Mm-hmm. Now we're jumping around. But basically, the protagonist of the movie is Zoe Deutsch, who is trying to protect the princess, okay? Who is a vampire. Zoe Deutsch, not a vampire, she's a guardian. Okay, at a certain point, the princess comes across, in the middle of the movie, her backpack is in the middle of the school courtyard in the middle of the night, so it's the middle of the day. And she's like, what's my backpack doing there? And there's cameras all over it. And she goes and she picks up the backpack and her cat is dead inside. What were the cameras for?
Well, because they're prank videos.
Where did the prank videos go?
Early in the movie, when they're coming to school, like someone gets water in their face and they cut to a kid with a video camera with that girl who kind of looks like the princess, the other blonde girl.
The other girlfriend, the jealous girl, Mia?
Mia. And then they go like, Mia loves making prank videos. Like they say something like...
Oh, so that
like,
was a prank video.
But then that doesn't make sense.
And the prank is I killed your cat?
It's like they had... You know when you play that game where...
Oh, no, I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No.
That was not Mia who killed the cat. Now I'm just spoiling it. It was Sarah Hyland
from Modern Family.
And Gabriel Byrne. Got it.
They're not supposed to have any technology. Because remember, there's a big joke that they kind of parachute in where it's like, yeah, let's have sex now. Oh, by the way, you've been out in the world. Hey, what's a hashtag?
What's an iPhone?
Yeah, and it was like, an iPhone.
Yeah, she's like, goodbye iPhone 5. Because in here, there's none of that.
They dated that movie quickly with that reference, didn't they? What? No, definitely. They're never going to want to make another iPhone.
I know, that was a real... Like, I was like, why say 5?
Why not just goodbye iPhone.
Yeah.
5 iPhone will definitely be the last one they make. I'm pretty sure they're not too ambitious.
Goodbye, Zune.
I was looking on Bebo and
I love the photos. But yeah, so in it, there they have a video camera. Then later on, they say they're not allowed. And it leads me to think there were 27 writers on this movie and no one is allowed to email each other about what was going on.
It was like, you write five pages, you write five pages.
Yeah. And then they keep passing them along.
It's an exquisite corpse as a script.
Yeah, like one of those kind of English writing projects.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Paul, it is based on a series of books,
well,
right?
Yes. And so
I felt like in the movie, each 10 minutes had enough information to have been one entire book.
Well,
I feel like.
What I think happened here was, and this is what I'm putting together, is that this was a bunch of books that were not incredibly popular, but they had a following to a point where when Twilight and Harry Potter and the Hunger Games came out, someone's like, oh, what do we got?
Yeah.
We're on to
Vampire Academy. Get it in here. Yeah. And then there are like six of them, Vampire Academy, Frostbite, Shadow Kiss, Blood Promise, Spirit Bound, and Last Sacrifice. Those are all the Vampire Academy
novels. And by the way, all of those things are in this movie. All of them are in this movie.
Shadow Kiss,
Blood, what is it?
Blood Promise, Spirit Bound, Last Sacrifice, and then it goes into another spin-off series.
There's a lot of like,
but they set up a sequel.
They do set up
a sequel.
I think that they were trying to build a giant franchise, but they also were trying to, it's like Harry Potter, it's kind of fun because it's a character that we can understand, a kid going into this world who has no conception of what that world is.
Yes.
Here it's people who have been in this world have escaped it. And then
this
they're
whole
just going
movie
back
is
in.
Like catch up.
Yeah,
this whole movie is like catch up to where we are. Yeah. Where we are, by the way,
previously
is insane.
On Vampire Academy.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything that you know about vampires, we're going to get rid of that.
Yeah.
And then we're also going to give you a bunch of new information.
What was the other vampire high school
that's
movie?
That's problematic.
The Covenant or
yeah,
the
that's it.
Yeah.
I feel like I want a mashup of that. I want those two schools to be rivals.
Yeah, we watched a movie where, well, that, and at least in that movie, and I wouldn't say that was a saving grace, but it was three witches, male witches, who just happened to be going to a normal school.
Yes.
But this is, well, and also I have a problem with this movie, and I guess it's part of the whole idea, but the ugly people in this movie are very attractive, and I was even having a hard time, like the perceived ugly people, like the nerds and the dorks.
Yep, are beautiful people.
Are beautiful people, and I'm like, is that boy, like the girl that the boy that she doesn't like, that she's kind of like, ah.
Well, she actually calls him Ducky.
Yes. That blew my mind.
But is that his name? That's not his name.
No, she's referencing Pretty in Pink.
She's referencing Pretty in Pink.
I feel like no one is seeing this movie.
She literally goes, she literally says, like, I don't want to deal with your emotions, Ducky.
Yeah.
And when she said that, I had to look at the cast list to see, is his name Ducky in the movie? But it's not.
No. It's just, you know, it's a reference.
But what that tells you is
it exists in our world and it's real.
Well, it tells,
it tells us it's real.
No, what it tells me is that it's almost like in the writing of it, they were like, he's Ducky. And then she's like, you know, it's like in the room writing this script, I can imagine that one of the writers was like, she's like, you know, the equivalent of, literally would say, it's the equivalent of like, I don't want to deal with your emotions, Ducky.
Yeah.
And then the writer was like, okay, let's just like,
we'll do that.
We'll
I'll put it in as a placeholder.
Put a pin in it.
It's a plaster.
Put a pin in it. Put a pin in it.
But
the line that went into the script was, I don't want to deal with your emotions, Ducky. And then they never got around to changing his name to what his name actually was in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
They were too busy doing Gabriel Byrne's makeup because he only had 2 hours.
Oh, by the way, I want to talk about Gabriel Byrne when he is getting blood in the cafeteria. He is, like, so, you know when you are in a hospital and you're hooked up to, like, a blood bag? Yeah, so he's sucking on, like, so instead of it going in his arm, he's, like, sipping it out of almost like a straw.
Weird.
What's very weird is that also, like, there would be easier ways to give blood to vampires, but they have to, like, chomp down on people's arms to get blood.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not, like, even though they're, okay, like, the princess goes to one of the feeders in the cafeteria for lunch, and when she sits down in, like, what looks like a medical, you know, like a hospital area, you know, cordoned off by curtains and so forth, she sits down, and she doesn't medically get blood from the person, like, it's coming out of their arm, into a tube, and into the, she just, like, is like, rah! And chomps down on the woman's arm, and the woman's like, anyway, so my husband and I are going on vacation, and like she's just like ah, like chomping on her arm.
But that's also in this movie. The weird thing is like the protector also serves that purpose for the
vampire. I think that was supposed to be shocking, though.
Okay. Mm.
That's why everybody was calling her a blood whore.
So
blood
this, whore. Is, this is the bit where, when they're on their the year that we whore. Never learn about. The
yes. yes.
Basically, the only thing that happened, other than like renting a movie one night in that whole year.
Yeah. They watched Pretty in Pink.
Yeah.
And they bought a Jimmy Carter poster. The Jimmy Carter poster
is very weird.
Crazy. Weird. And again, the first scene in the movie, she's like, what's this? You got this Jimmy Carter poster up. And she's like, I'm trying to fit in. It's like, wait, is this in the past?
Fit in, fit in for who?
And where did you get the Jimmy Carter? Like, yes, where
who's
are there?
Selling, who's selling posters of 1976 campaign posters for Jimmy Carter?
In 2015.
Do you know the more we talk about this, I'm kind of falling in love with the movie.
I'm going like, to say, I enjoyed this movie quite a bit.
I missed the Jimmy Carter. It's sort of weird and wonderful in a brilliant way.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
we're behind.
It's an onslaught of information.
Going yes. back to the blood thing, though, it brought to mind two things in it. One of the things that's fun about a vampire movie for me is the rules. And you made a good point in saying mm-hmm. that they threw all the rules out. Like, they started with, like, our vampires don't have to abide by any of the pre-existing rules of what a vampire is. Mm-hmm. But the blood thing made me think of two – well, first of all, I love the trope of that anytime someone gets bit by a vampire, it's orgasmic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The orgasm.
It's very
like,
erotic.
It's like when a vampire sinks their yeah. teeth into you, you have an or like you yep. have like this like
And she didn't, and like even when they were making out in that one scene, the vampire wants to like kiss the protector like or sink his teeth into her. Like, no, I'm yeah. not that type of girl.
There's something like, very penetrative about a vampire's bite.
It's like, you, it's like, yeah.
you say that with, time, a, with an ounce
yes,
of experience.
Yes,
penetrative. Every time, like, the teeth pierce the skin, the bitey is like
yeah, it's like, it doesn't, it hurts so Ooh. Good.
Yep.
It hurts so good.
Yeah. Exactly.
But there was an Ethan Hawke vampire movie I once saw where
Boyhood.
It's just the middle chunkies is a vampire. Yeah.
Like, can you imagine if they had done that 14. The Boyhood of Vampire, and it's like from 11 to like 2,000 years old.
If you
it's like they filmed it over thousands of years.
That'd be amazing.
Linklater is a genius.
And no, but it was a Ethan Hawke vampire movie, and it's like in a world where vampires have been assimilated into the society and they get kind of like shitty blood.
Yep.
It's okay. pretty interesting. It's like
I think I've seen
it's
that.
like really good blood is blood you like bite out of a living person's
Sure,
arm.
But you can survive
but
off
you need
of
get
cow
like
blood.
Shitty blood. Oh, you yeah. get like yeah, it's cow yeah, blood it's and stuff like that.
And
yeah.
I remember there's like another movie too, like I have another vampire movie where like he's like I'm always sucking the blood out of rats or something like yeah. that. Like yeah. they're like it's
Well,
like,
that's Spike on Buffy yes. when he's trying not to bite people in order to let Buffy love him. He
yes,
is
right.
like
yes,
feeding off
good.
Rats and
Can
stuff.
Can we go back to just this scene where she comes into his room for what was
oh,
it?
Yes.
Sleazy molasses. What, yeah. what did she
Sweet sassy
it?
Molasses.
Sweet sassy molasses.
Which was her fuck charm.
Yeah.
Gave her
I can't
this.
Imagine There's, that she didn't approach the writers to be like, do I have to say sweet sassy molasses?
Yeah.
Is there and anything
she,
else?
She even cuts it, devalues it in the next scene. She's like,
yeah.
I never would have said sweet sassy molasses. If it wasn't for this charm that I had on my neck.
But my favorite thing is it's just yeah. a very weird plot idea to have that one of the most powerful people in the world would put a charm on her that she can very easily take off. Like, what if it yeah. didn't match her dress? So she puts on this love charm and it means that someone that she likes, she'll want to have sweet sassy molassy with. So she goes to this Russian 16,000-year-old man. She knocks at his door and she's like, please give me help. And then she's like, boom, chicka, wah, wah.
Yeah.
Because the love charm around her neck. And my favorite thing is when they enter the room, just to give him a bit of character, this Russian actor who's come over to learn English, they have him in corduroy pajamas and a headphone with no music, but like even the headphones we're wearing now during this podcast. Yeah. If someone slammed through the door and was like, "Quick, I need your help," you wouldn't be like, "I don't hear anything." But then he uses his newfound acting to do a double take with the headphones on and go, "Whoa, whoa, what?" and takes them off, and all of a sudden he can see her for the first time, and it's this odd little scene. It's almost like, okay, Vlad, we're going to let you do some acting now. You can pick whatever props you want from the room, and you can start
headphone,
your scene.
I take a notebook.
And, I think my character would wear in the nighttime like a check trousers, just like a normal guy, because he is a normal guy. And it's just this odd moment. And then it all happens. She kisses him.
We see her in her bra and pants, which is very important for the audience.
And by the way, a very unprovocative bra. Like, you know, like I feel like she was like, guys, I'm not going to go. I like, you know, it's like, I feel like good choice for the actor, but she was not like, it wasn't skimpy, but she covered up. But it, I would argue
but
that
it happened so fast. Yeah. It was like it wasn't her contract that she'd have to do it. But because they like the actress, right? They're like, right. Well, we'll only make you do it for a minute and a half.
Yeah.
And because immediately, like, take off my dress. Oh God, that was the crew. Did you get that shot? Did you get that shot? Great. Okay. And now, ooh, the love thing's off, and everything stops. Like he took off the necklace very quickly.
Well, he also, I want to just point out one thing that I did think was great in that scene where he threw his clothes or her clothes in the fire.
In the fire.
The
dress, the dress that she just bought at the mall, he takes off and says, let's burn it, and throws it into the fire. And so when, that just begs the question, when she leaves his room, what is she wearing?
Well, she put on that other outfit.
Oh.
But how, like, did she get to her
room?
Where
did she get that out?
Did she have to walk to her room, like, wearing one of his big I Heart Vampire t-shirts?
Black sweat.
Yeah, maybe.
Lots of black sweatsuits for them all.
But also that dress, when they're in the mall, just a couple of scenes before this, and they're like, my dad's going to buy you, don't worry about it, my dad's going to buy you a dress. And there's this moment where all the actors turn around and go, I've just found the dress of your dreams. And then everyone else turns around and go, I never thought I would see it before. And then we cut to her walking. It's a plain black dress.
Yeah, it's not.
Like, there's nothing. It's kind of like she's working as a cocktail waitress.
It's I would say conservative.
Yeah.
Everything about it is conservative. And again, just so you know, the movie does, it doesn't climax, but it builds towards the formal or the prom, essentially.
Yeah.
And then it just continues.
Climaxes.
Just like a bite into your
just
neck.
Like the vampire's bite. There is something we have not discussed that is maybe like one of the most important pieces of this movie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is that the two main characters, the guard, Zoe Deutsch's character and the princess, have some sort of psychic connection where like throughout the movie, Rose falls into a trance. Zoe Deutsch's character.
Do you remember what that's called? The psychic connection?
Shadow kissed?
The bond.
The bond, yes. And they have the bond.
And not everyone has the bond. Because she's embarrassed of the bond.
It's very rare.
It's a rare thing, and they have it. The bond.
They have the bond.
And sometimes,
and so she sees life. Okay, but this is what made me bananas. Because she sees life through the eyes of the princess. So she sees what the princess is up to.
Yeah.
And she can be like, oh, no, don't do that. She's talking to this guy and she's in this place, blah, blah, blah. But then she also sees first person point of view at the princess's eyes. She sees master shots of where the princess is. She sees every camera point of view necessary.
That's why it's so special. She can get jib shots. She can get dolly anything. Shots. She can
it's
do
crazy. Close-up. It's so bizarre. I'm like, what are we
she
still
can also
seeing?
Give her, by the way, like an ultrasound as well if she wanted.
My favorite, like, and again, everyone's trying hard here, but my favorite moment in this movie talking about, like, perspective of camera is when she gets put into the hospital and she's waking up and her eyelids are fluttering.
Black piece of paper in front of them, and like, then they cut to her. It's the weirdest.
It's so unnerving.
It
you've never seen a POV of someone while blinking, and
we're inside her face. We're inside her face, and it's blinking, but it's just one eye, if you think about it.
Yeah.
It's just one eye, and oh, yeah.
And for no real reason.
Nope.
You didn't need to.
Well, you got to do the fade-up from out of focus. You got to do the fade-up from out of focus into focus.
And she had been knocked unconscious, and so now she's coming back, you know.
But it was still, it was really unnerving as a.
Oh, you know what we never found out?
What?
Whatever happened to that teacher? They were trying to find out whatever happened to that teacher who was.
No, she was at the end in the cave.
She's in the cave at the end. She's the sequel.
But here's my question about, and going back to the vision, the thing I was most confused about, because sometimes they have straight up flashbacks. Mm. Sometimes it's dreams.
Yeah. Yes.
And then other times it's
videos.
It's like, it's weird. It's like you don't, and like there was one moment in it where like it was the,
well, it was a dream, and then you're like, okay, well, like there's no delineation of what you're seeing until after it's over. Like, because when they reveal the crazy woman who lives in the cave who's setting up the sequel, she's like, okay, I'm brainwashing you now, and you won't remember this until next year when you need to remember this. And so you're, I was confused by, like, is that a, well, I guess it's not a dream, but it was very hard to delineate what was going on with that vision, because that vision really opened up into nightmares, fantasies, real things.
Basically, any method of putting,
visualizing plot.
Yeah, exactly, is utilized here clumsily.
Hey, everybody, we have to take a brief break in the show to give a word of thanks to our sponsors, but also a word of thanks to the people out there that helped us. And what do I mean, helped us? I mean, these are people who dug into their own pocket. They cleared out the gum wrappers. They moved around the condoms, male and female. I don't discriminate. And they took out some cash and they sent it to us. And today, we are celebrating the true American heroes. American heroes like Mr. Scott Cole. Scott Cole. When he goes out in public, people salute him. Is he in the military? No way. They salute him because he's awesome. Scott Cole, kicking ass and taking names, because when he kicks your ass, he'll pay for your hospital bills. Scott Cole! But that's not to be confused with Mr. Jared Isle, the Isle of Jared. Jared is not an Isle. He is a man. But he is an aisle because you want to go to him and have fun and relax. Kick up your feet on the aisle of Jared Isle. Hang out. Drink a margarita on his chest. He doesn't mind. He's the best. He's the coolest. We love Jared. He gave us $150. And you know what we say to you? You're 150% great. But I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about Jason DeSautel. Jason DeSautel, I'm not even sure if that's how you pronounce his name, but you know what? He doesn't care because he's cool as shit. And he's like, you know what? Mispronounce my name. I gave you 200 bones because I can afford it. Why? Because I'm a captain of my industry. I've invented something that is going to change your life. I can't announce it, me, Paul Scheer, right now because it would break patent and copyright laws, but it's going to come out. Jason DeSautel, he's the next Steve Jobs. He's got shit coming that's going to blow your mind. But right now, he's blowing our mind by writing that check for $200. Let me tell you something, Jason. If I saw you in the street, I would shake your hand and I wouldn't stop to say anything else because I respect your time. You know, we've talked a lot about these guys, Scott, Jared, and Jason, but we haven't talked anything about a woman who is the real deal. Yes, a lot of people talk about Hillary. I'm with her. Well, I'm with Jane. Jane Fulcher. Oh, Jane Fulcher. You know what? A lot of people give denominations when 100, 150, 200. Not Jane. She gave a donation of 133. What's the significance? I don't know. But you know what? That makes me intrigued. She's essentially peacocking. She's using the game on me. If you don't know what the game is, it's a reference. It's probably about, I don't know, 10 years old now. But it's okay because Jane gets it. And she's the fucking best. I'm with Jane Fulcher. Who are you with? Okay? With your even denominations of donations. No, Jane Fulcher switches it up. She makes it good. Some mornings when you're, you know, sleeping over her house, maybe you guys just got it on. Maybe you're just vacationing at her house. She'll give you juice one day, coffee the next. You don't know what you're gonna get. But you know what? There's one man who's lived through so much hardship. Because his name is the same name as someone who is very famous. I'm talking, of course, of John Edwards, also who gave us a weird denomination of 126, even weirder than the 133. But John Edwards, you have shit to deal with because people probably assume you're that hacky dude who pretends to read people's, like, you know, dead relatives from coming back from the dead, but all he really does is, like, set a microphone in a waiting room and then, you know, does a Google search. John Edwards! You would never bilk people based on their feelings and their hearts and their emotional attachments to their loved ones. You are a true humanitarian, and I hope that if you do die, you will come back and talk to me, because if you don't, I'll be very lonely. John Edwards, a ghost you can count on. And now, some people who gave us more than $100 to $200. These are people that aren't people, but yet corporations. Are you watching the show Blunt Talk? I know you probably heard about it. Patrick Stewart, he basically plays a CNN-like anchor, like a Wolf Blitzer type of character who is hilariously addicted to women and booze and all sorts of vices. He is hilarious. I am a convert to this show. I watched all of season one. I love it. And then I realized, why do I love it? Because it's brought to you by Jonathan Ames. Jonathan Ames, who did Bored to Death, who is an amazing author in his own right. He has assembled this powerfully hilarious cast together to make a show that not only skewers news, but is absurd and funny and real and grounded. If you've not checked out Blunt Talk season one, do that right now, because you need to get ready for Blunt Talk season two. Okay, Blunt Talk season two is kind of like this bigger idea of a season. Think of it like his version of Chinatown, but on top of all that, there's porn, there's cross-dressing, there's conspiracies, there's booze, drug, drag. Everything is in there. It's great. And guess what? Even this guy, yeah, I'm in the show as well this season. I play a hitman who drives an environmentally friendly car in a couple of episodes. It's so much fun. I urge you to check out this show if you've not checked out. If you are looking to figure out where you can check it out, simple. Just go to Stars, where the show premieres on October 2nd at 8:30 p.m., or check it out on the new Stars app, where you can catch up on everything. Love the Stars app. And who else is on this show besides me? Jason Schwartzman, Fred Armisen, Moby, Brett Gelman, Eric Griffin, just to name a few. So check it all out. It is Blunt Talk Season 2, October 2nd, Stars. Here's the deal, people. You like to cook, but you don't have the time. You want to cook, but who wants to go to the grocery store and stand in line with that weird woman buying all that mayonnaise? Well, let me tell you, Blue Apron has a solution to all of your problems. That's right. Blue Apron is going to send you all the stuff that you need to make amazing meals in your house. That's right. Every portion is right to the exact amount that you need. There's no leftover stuff. You're just going to get a delicious meal, plain and simple. Here's the deal, right? Not only is Blue Apron simple, it's also good for the environment. And I say that because they have partnerships with 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. That means that they have sustainably sourced seafood. They have beef that's raised humanely. They have chickens who are free range, and pork that is raised naturally. Okay? Here's the deal. If you live in a place where there aren't good supermarkets and you can't get fresh food, Blue Apron most likely delivers to you. And here is the best part. When you cook for people, they get impressed with you and they start to like you more. And that means when the zombie apocalypse comes, you'll be the last person they kill because you serve a function. Okay, if you're just on your iPhone playing games, you're the first one out. But if you can cook, you're going to live. And let me tell you, Blue Apron wants you to live to make their delicious foods. Let me tell you what they got coming up this month. They've got paprika spiced shrimp and cheddar grits with tomato and sweet corn. They've got eggplant and chickpea tagine with islander pepper and tomato and couscous. They got summer udon noodle salad with cherry tomatoes, corn, and summer sweet pepper. Okay? Does that sound delicious to you? It sounds delicious to me. Well, here's the deal. If you check out this week's menu, you'll get your first three meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/bonkers. That's blueapron.com/bonkers. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/bonkers. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. All right, that's all for our ads. Now back to the show.
One point I had that was really sad, it really took me out of the movie, and this is why sometimes it's hard being an actor, guys.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. You were taken, the willing suspension of disbelief, you were taken out of it. You knew you were watching a movie.
For a second, I was brought out of my chair, and it was very disappointing. And it was when they saw the brother who died in the car accident, the princess's brother, the prince, and he used to go out with the school bully years and years ago. That's my friend Rory. And he's Irish, and I knew he wasn't an English vampire. And it was just him in pictures, and he's a very good actor, so I don't know why they got him to act in photos. Like, literally, they got an actor in to be in photos. And I was like, what's Rory doing in this?
I feel like he was cut out. I feel like there was a 2.5 hour version of this movie that they're like,
that included,
we gotta get this down to 104.
That I bet included the princess's whole family pre-car accident.
Oh, yeah. Living fast and dying young. Yeah,
that's what I would guess. Because that stuff seemed too important, but so jumped past that I'm like, oh, I bet there was more of this at some point. They justified all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then just were like, no, fuck it.
We need to come. And I think because what they did do was just dry, like, when you look at the marketing for this movie, I remember, because this movie only came out in 2014.
I bet book one ends with the car accident. And I bet book two is just them living away.
Well, I can tell you what happens in the next couple of books.
Let us watch the movies,
Is there a sequel happening?
I want to talk to you guys about this, because this is
Are you about to pitch us the sequel? Because we're in.
All right, well, let me...
I will play one of the English vampires.
This is what happened. So the film did not do well financially.
What?
Oh, was it an expensive film to make?
It was...
Let's guess.
Yes, okay, great.
I'd love to know what the most money went on. So, like, say if you take...
I bet it was not as expensive as you think. I'm going to guess it was 35.
It came out in...
That's pretty expensive, don't you think?
35 million.
I think that's cheap for a movie...
For like, a special effects, you know...
With a young, unknown cast.
It didn't look like...
It didn't, but I think it probably still cost that much money. I don't know.
All right, so $35 million in 2014.
Well, the director is a pretty big-time director.
Who is that?
Yes,
Mark Waters, who directed... Mean Girls.
Oh, okay.
He also directed Mr. Popper's Penguins, Ghosts of Girlfriends Past,
the Spiderwick Chronicles,
and Bad Santa 2.
That explains the jokes. I bet
he's
you any money.
He's a pretty big deal director.
Well, it was written by the guy who wrote Heathers, but he also the guy.
Whoa.
But also the guy who wrote Hudson Hawk, Batman Returns, and Demolition Man.
All of which we've done.
Yes, and he is the first had to skip made three time writer.
Welcome
to the pantheon.
Well, four films that we've done.
You had two of the wrong genres mixing with each other. It's two people who are trying to get along and couldn't, because you had someone who wrote like drama.
They're brothers?
Yes.
No.
Waters and Daniel Waters, they're brothers.
Are you
Waters
assuming brothers. That because of both Waters?
Yeah, yeah, they're both Waters. No, they are brothers.
Get at us, Waters brothers.
The Waters brothers.
I think what they were trying to do was to create this... I feel like there's a point of it would be like, oh, this is kind of cool to create like a meta Twilight, you know, that's still kind of cool, but it's a high school movie, less of a vampire movie.
Well, it's like Heathers.
Yeah.
You know, like Heathers is a movie that's commenting on the John Hughes movies. That's you know, while still...
And I feel like they did have, like, it felt like, and then Powers That Be were like, more Hunger Games, more this.
Yeah.
But let's want to take a guess on the movie, the thing, and I'll tell you.
The budget.
I feel like somewhere between 25 and 35 sounds about right to me.
$52 million.
That's right. It is $30 million. $30 million. Wow. Okay. It grossed here in the United States $7 million.
Yeah. Oof.
It did so bad that they pulled it out of theaters, which is something that they don't normally do. They were like, get it out. Let's
go. I'd love to know what Gabriel Byrne's fee was.
High.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he got
out
a million.
Out of that 30
I feel like he got a million,
and what about
right?
Jody Richardson?
No, half a million.
Okay.
Yeah, I probably think for 2 days of work. I think half a mil.
All right, now this is the thing that I wanted to tell you guys about. So the movie did not do well financially, $7 million. Mm. And the director wanted to do a sequel. So... Wow. So the studio that made the movie said they would fund the film on the condition that the fans raised $1.5 million as a show of support. So it's like, if you
can kickstart
$1.5 million, we will make a sequel. The Indiegogo campaign was started. It ran for 1 month and made $254,000. So they canceled the sequel.
Well, that's a bummer.
Yeah. And then they said during the last days of the Indiegogo campaign, all the characters' costumes started appearing on eBay auctions. That's even a sadder thing that the fans didn't even rally.
That's a bummer.
What was the thing when the guy was like sucking on her face or something? Was he like blowing on her face or something?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so vampires in this world are also have the ability to, what is it, compulsion? What do they call
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yes.
What's it called in normal vampire world? Glimmering? Glamoring?
Is it glimmering? I think it's
one,
glimmer,
one yeah. of them. And it's the ability to like hypnotize or make, you know, people suggestible to your will. Right.
Confound? Right. Was it not?
Very much in a sort of these aren't the droids you're looking for
correct.
Sort of way.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but apparently the person has to be able, you need to be able to make eye contact with the person because right. he's like, we're bringing in a blind vampire, so your compulsion or whatever won't work on him.
And
also, he control, you know, like the thing in, the vampires in this world have control over the elements, water, fire, earth, and air. For some reason. And so he is very adept at controlling air. So he is sucking all of the oxygen out of her body, I think, and making
yeah,
it.
He's
like a Death Eater. Like in Harry Potter.
He sucks the life out. Suffocating her like water.
And it's not Death Eaters,
that's what he's
guys.
Doing. So he's torturing her.
What are we doing here? The Death Eaters are the followers of Voldemort.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, God.
The guys who guard Azkaban.
Why did you even bother turn up?
Voldemort is Harry Potter, right?
Voldemort is Harry Potter?
Right, that's a Harry
that's
Potter.
What happens
Voldemort is the bad guy in Harry Potter. Yes,
the
play,
I think I'm thinking of Gargamel. There's Gargamel.
Gargamel.
That's Smurfs.
Yes,
right?
That is Smurfs. Yes.
That was like a gritty.
And his cat Azrael.
And then Mixelplick.
Mr. Mixelplick.
That's Spider-Man's.
Superman is one of Superman's villains.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's the one if you say it backwards?
That's Mr. Mixelplick.
That's Mixerplick.
And he who must not be named is Lord Voldemort. But we're
right. But we just said his name.
Oh shit! Can we beep that out of the editor?
No, you know, you know, he who is not shall be named is this bozo running for president.
Whoa!
That is he who shall. Shall not be named.
President Trump is not being too happy with
the
that.
The nonpartisan podcast.
You
we've
heard it.
Sorry.
We've had Donald Trump on the show.
He talked about the Garbage Pail Kids movie.
He was hilarious.
Gender there. I just said this bozo running for president.
Yeah.
I did say he who should. No, I did say he who shall. But there's another guy running for president.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
By the way, I would take a moment to say that if anyone has any connection with Bill Clinton and wants to have him come on to talk about the Police Academy movies, which he is now voiced his love for. We'd love to have
him.
We'll
please
make a generous donation to the Clinton Foundation if you want to come on and pick anyone. Mission to Moscow, Operation Palm Beach, whatever.
On Mike's gender related.
I made plenty of donations to Clinton.
Hoping Mike, get my you're money. Seething.
Every day I give him $100.
A plus on Charity Watch. Go ahead.
Could on Mike's gender point, can I say some positives and some negatives as I didn't want to say, I didn't want to tell you this, guys. I'm not sure if you could work it out, but I am what science would describe as a feminist.
I love it. I love it all.
Well, I didn't get much support there from the rest of the men in the room, but anyways, I'll
I said great.
Thank you. But you didn't mean it. I could tell
I
you.
I did mean it.
He said it under his breath.
Okay.
Okay, yes.
Here are some good points. Two female lead roles.
Sure.
Positive. Sassy. Positive.
And this, they also this passes the Bechdel test.
This
movie passes the Bechdel test.
Because they're never talking about guys. They're always talking about blood sucking instead.
Well, they talk about guys, but they don't only talk about guys.
Right. Exactly. They have a full life running away
running
and killing
away
people.
And the old mad teacher.
Totally.
So they have a lot of other subjects. So it passed the Bechdel test. They also have two interesting moments, which I feel is when the female writers stepped in. One where they're talking about consent, and another one where they say, nobody should ever be slut shamed.
Yeah.
They have these two weird, like, there's right.
Well, the queen comes in, Jolie Richardson comes in, and is basically slut-shaming the princess in front of everybody.
And then later on, she's like, I'm not having it. And there's another point where, Rose Hathaway?
Rose.
She's talking to, you know, the weirdo prince that the blonde girl ends up with, the kind of handsome, the handsome oddball. He's kind of like the...
extremely handsome.
Extremely handsome. And actually not a bad actor, as I watched him.
The one who is, his parents were Strigoi. He's like the black sheep of the school.
But please don't judge him because of that. Because he is his own past.
Because
he is not his parents.
No. Oh my God, when the princess gives the speech at the end and she says, yes, my boyfriend is Sebastian and his parents were Strigoi.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you telling? What is this?
Well, that speech at the end, which I'd like to play
there's
right now.
There's also a lot of church. There's a lot of religion.
Which brings
it's a very
like
weirdly religious movie.
I thought vampires weren't allowed in churches because they burn.
But they have their own church.
They have a vampire church.
They said they're Greek Orthodox, and there's one
they
moment.
Are?
Yeah,
I'm Greek
clearly.
Orthodox. I don't think they were.
I think the man
are
with
you a
the
vampire?
Hat. The man.
Guys,
with the
I gotta
hat,
go.
The man with the hat looked Greek Orthodox, and also at one point instead of saying "Oh God," they go "By Vlad," which was quite an interesting exclamation.
Yeah, so it is like a Vlad the Impaler-based religion?
Yeah, there's some kind of like, but there's a Catholic vibe to it. They definitely are religious, and like you're saying, it's Catholic girls' school-looking uniforms.
Yeah, they definitely are playing up that angle.
But then the two bits I did, so I kind of thought, well, they're having a go at consent when she's talking to that handsome guy, and she's like, when a girl says no against putting your big teeth in your mind.
Yeah, she's like, don't disrespect me. I wrote it down. She's like, don't disrespect me, or that's degrading.
Yeah,
don't bite and fuck me.
Oh,
this is degrading. But then what two things that I absolutely hate in movies and that drive me up the bloody wall, and this has become endemic in most TV as well, is perfectly curled hair at all times. And I, all times,
I don't have a problem
whether
with
you're running, I mean, Jason, I feel really bad now because Jason has perfectly curled hair.
No, totally.
No,
don't worry about it.
It's so lovely, and I'm sure you make an effort when you come in to and it's just because this isn't TV, this is a podcast.
Before you came in here, Jason was
I've been here for 4 hours in hair and makeup.
You literally do have the most perfect baby curls. But they have them throughout. And you see on TV as well, people wake up in the middle of the night and they're like, quick, we got to get out of here. And they have perfectly curled hair.
Sarah Hyland in this movie, her hair, after she's been beaten and fighting, her hair stays perfect.
Yep. The exact same. People are stepping in too much on this movie, but not enough to help Gabriel Byrne's face.
The movie had a very CW TV show feel to it.
Yes.
It clearly was not shot on film. It's shot on video. And it feels like it's shot on sets. It doesn't feel like they're on real locations. There's clearly a lot of green screen work. There's a lot of CGI effects. It's a very cheap ish. No offense to the director,
but he had a budget. He had to fulfill that budget.
I think $35 million is a big old budget.
I feel like it is.
That's a lot of money.
But that's one location.
But the actors are all very like really good looking. They don't look like real people. Like what's so great about Harry Potter is that those characters really feel like real people. There's like a they all
that's
have
what
like
I was saying.
A
it's confusing.
Silliness.
Like when they're like the outcast. Is not
exactly
is not
the
like,
ducky. The ducky is handsome
a
as fuck.
Great looking guy. But that's what reminded me about Clueless is that the Sarah Hyland character reminds me of the
Brittany Murphy
character from Clueless, who's like ugly but so clearly is not ugly at all.
She takes off her glasses.
Literally, the only thing about the character that makes them ugly is that they have glasses.
And it is the glasses mocked in a way. Like it felt like a 1950s movie. Like hey. Four eyes, and they're like
Coca-Cola. They're also like really thick, like Coca-Cola lens. Yeah. You know,
but it's also like, are we making fun? We're in that world where we're making fun of people wearing glasses,
right? Like kick sand on the skinny guy.
Big problem in the Harry Potter movies was in the movies, Emma Watson's character Hermione is more tubbier, really long teeth, and mad hair. And all they do to Emma Watson is so the boys.
Well,
have
you're
been
saying
cast,
in the books,
yeah, in the books,
Hermione
so
has
Hermione
is
like not a looker at all.
Really?
So in the movies, they've cast these really interesting bunch of like kids, all male kids. But with her character, and no offense, Emma Watson, but they didn't exactly make it like, oh, this is just like a normal girl. She had really long teeth, and in the second book, there's a spell that they do where her teeth go whoomf, and they get rid of her. But she's supposed to have like proper bunny
but
teeth.
She is,
the whole movie.
But
she's never supposed to be sexy.
But she
and
she's
got a
that.
Few hairs.
Well, she's supposed
way.
To be sexy when Victor Crumb shows up and chooses her to go to the dance with.
No,
and everybody's like, whoa, what?
No, the
Victor
point
Crumb
is,
just chose.
Ginny was the hot
no,
one.
No,
Ginny was not
the
hot one. What are we talking about?
The point
Ginny is a Weasley. Come on. Let's not get crazy.
Let's not get crazy.
That's a gingerist. The point is that she wasn't supposed to be sexy, that Victor Crumb picked her because of her heart and her mind.
And her intelligence. I understand.
Not just the hairs out of place.
I understand.
Bad, like unbrushed hair does not spell ugliness.
Sure.
But the other thing they do, which drives me also bananas, like you, Jason, was when people run away in high shoes. They ruined the second Jurassic Park. With Bryce Dallas Howard wearing an all white outfit and high shoes, which would, if you were running for a bus, you'd die in, never mind running from a Tyrannosaurus Rex, and it ruined any gravitas of the movie or for the character. considering in the original Jurassic Park, there was a woman in
she
desert
She was more, boots, yeah, she yeah. was a, an
she
archaeologist.
She was just as sexy,
like,
just and she had her hair in a ponytail.
Sure.
In this, there's at the very start when they're running away from the whatever comes and gets them.
Oh, well, they're always talking about, right? Yeah. We're talking about the movie we just saw?
Yeah, so okay. now we're back
we're
to...
We're not talking about Jurassic Park right now.
We were, and now I'm bringing it back. Okay. Like, I'm like the Vampire Academy in that I'm doing a lot.
You're hitting a lot of it.
A lot of exposition. A lot of exposition.
And then in this, when they're running... That's not me going for a wee. That is Mike pouring water. If anyone wants to use it as some sort of stock sound effects for any movies down the line.
Just doing some Foley work.
Wait, I'm just going to stir my tea now.
For those for the your American listeners, I think going for a wee, that would be going to peeing.
Pee
right?
pee. That's yeah. It would be pee pee. Yeah.
Oh yeah, pee pee.
Pee pee. Yeah, that's pee-pee. What you say.
Pee-pee. Going for a
like
wee,
like in Stealth.
Can I just also say that Jason has used his headphones to push back his beautiful
now
curls.
Now I push back my curls because I got
really
self-conscious.
Nice.
I wish we had
really
more than self-conscious.
I wanted to talk about. Oh wait,
sorry. They perfect shoes. They run away in these high shoes, and they're supposed to be doing physical work, and instead they're doing them in high boots.
I totally agree. Like, well, I think that like, the fashion was a big deal in this and keeping them nice.
Massive deal.
The thing that, if I was to isolate one thing that really bugged me about this movie is that the whole movie culminates in this vampire showdown. So now you have your old vampire has become young. The princess is kidnapped. The protector has to stand up for the first time because after in the beginning, she was shut down by the Strigoi.
So werewolves.
Now, the werewolves, there's things going on.
Oh,
and
yes.
What do they
no,
do?
They're Psywolves.
Oh, sorry, Psywolves.
They are Psywolves. They're
think,
not werewolves.
Do you think beside werewolves is like a little copyright thing so nobody's allowed to say it?
So then,
that really made me laugh.
The movie just devolves into gunplay.
Yes.
They just pull out guns and start shooting people. It's like, wait. It's a fucking vampire movie. You have all this strength. Like, give me some literally the guy says this line. He's like, fuck, I forget even how he says it. Like, so-and-so, and good thing I got a big gun. And then he pulls out a relatively small gun and then fires it. And then at the end, the old vampire is Gabriel Byrne's walking. He's like, bang, bang. And he just you're fucking vampire. Like,
a silver bullet. Can't you kill vampires with silver bullets?
I think that's actually werewolves.
That's werewolves.
That's werewolves.
But it just felt like...
And not Psywolves.
So, for a movie that explores, like, the supernatural world... And
100%. Like, it's
a
real gun.
And then they cuff him. Then they, like, literally cuff Gabriel Byrne. Like, he's
in... With zip ties.
Zip ties. Yeah. And it's like... And then they put him in a prison. And then you're like, oh, I guess the movie's over. He's like, nope. She goes to visit him in prison. And he's like,
And by the way, he is like, she goes to visit him in prison, and and he immediately walks out of the jail cell.
Yeah.
And then there's another dumb fight.
Well, also, the prison, I think, looked like the same set where the cafeteria was.
Yeah, 100% was.
Yes.
Guys, we got to turn this over after lunch quick, all right?
Get rid of these. It's going to be easy. Just get rid of these white couches.
Pull the curtains down.
Larry, where do you want me to put this prison cell?
Hey, can we get Grace before lunch? Because we want to do the turnaround after lunch.
Oh, it's so stupid.
Oh, man. I am excited to talk to you about the thing that changed my life. It's called Sonos. What's Sonos? Here's the deal. It's basically like the best way to listen to all your music ever. You get a speaker, and you get an app, and then you play your music or whatever you want out of that speaker. There's no cords. There's no muss. There's no fuss. It brings all your music together in one app. You can jump on Spotify, Pandora, your iTunes, and even those ones that you don't even know what they are, but they exist. They have a ton of them. Basically, Sonos is going to make sure that you're going to hear the music that you want to hear in every room that you see fit. My whole house is outfitted with Sonos. In my living room, I could be playing, I don't know, Mozart because I'm classy. And then in my kitchen, I can be playing Kanye because I am fucking hip-hop. And in the back, I could be listening to old albums of George Carlin because I'm old school as fuck. Sonos brings it all together. I love them all. I love Sonos. Before they came as sponsors, I love Sonos. I only wish that I could experience Sonos for the first time. So if you've never experienced Sonos, get on the Sonos bandwagon and start playing your music the way that you want to play it. And don't worry about other people having to agree, because you can just go in your own room and play your own fucking shit. Sonos, the way to go.
How about my favorite was the scene in which they go and they confront the Strigoi in a house, and there's a big fight. And Zoe Deutsch's character jumps on one of the vampires and headbutts him conservatively 15 times in a row. Just like wham, 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 yeah. wham. All headbutts. And they're going sideways, straight on. I was like, this is crazy. Yeah. I feel like the stunt woman was like, oh, I can do headbutts. And they're like, right. Great, let's see what you got.
Well, right. But you know what it was? Is because I felt they went overboard with the stunt people, because when they all did their stunts, it was kind of lackluster. Like, there's one scene where there's like a bunch of minions, not the yellow ones that are so cute and fun.
Minions.
But like the vampire minions, they're walking in the house and then like a door comes in and like hits one on the head. But it's an anticlimactic, like, the door is kicked in, it's like, clunk. It just, it looks like, it would look how a door looks when it's kicked in. It's not impressive. And then, and she could only do a couple things. So, like, anytime they could get a distance shot, it was, like, a lot of moves. But normally it was just, like, she does that great punch in the middle of the, in the dance floor. She's, like, just punching the face. Yeah. But it's, like, when they're doing stunts, it's not, it's a little lackluster.
But they're only actors.
They're only actors. What can you...
I often feel like we get such a bad rap, you know? I feel like people expect the world from us. We can only deliver so much.
I want to play this end speech, because the end speech here is kind of great, because it starts to cover up... It covers so many topics. I'm like, wait, is that what this movie is about? Mm. So take a listen.
I finally declared a magic, and it's called Spirit.
Have we been waiting for that? On it.
I have a bunch of wise men in robes to help me out. And yes, that was not a mirage you saw on the dance floor. My boyfriend is Christian Azera, and his parents were Strigoi. Get over it. Blood.
Get over it.
Blood is what connects us all. Blood is sustenance. Blood is family. Blood is pain. And blood is death. Unfortunately, you can't all have a Rose Hathaway. I'm very lucky that she's mine. But if you don't have a soulmate, by Vlad, the least you deserve
by Vlad.
Is
by Vlad.
Wait, soulmates?
Dignity and something more
original. No, Vlad is like
gossip,
the oldest vampire.
Yeah,
Vlad.
Yeah. There is such shaming.
Let's prove that Maroi blood is worth protecting. What do you say, everyone?
Is this movie...
No,
like,
more bad blood.
Is it about slut shaming?
Is it about slut... No, but is the relationship... She's like, you should all be so lucky to have a Rose like I do. Is, like, Rose her slave? Like, does, like, Rose belong to... Like, there's something... Yeah. She's like, she calls her, like, her soulmate in that moment. Like, there's a lot of language that is,
it's like...
It's like,
to me, it reminds me of the relationship of Let the Right One In. That's what it feels like. That
maybe that's like
for
a
your whole life you are saddled with this person.
You have to just protect them.
Yeah. I would have liked to have seen a couple that don't get along. So like one of the just
like
even
a bickering
just
couple
even for a laugh. Yeah, yep. Like a person who goes, oh, this old wagon's like bringing me around again. This sort of thing, or someone who's really annoying gets stuck to them, like another little couple.
I would have liked that. Obviously, we
sounds
had,
like you're angling for a part to play.
Oh, let me jump in front. Of you, princess.
Wait, are you playing a much older person?
No.
Why is your character in the teen drama have an old person voice?
I have a casting age of 14 in this town. I'll have you know.
Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are people out there that had a different opinion. It is now time for Second Opinions. These are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon. Real people, real reviews, real enthusiastic. These movies can be broken, or these reviews can be broken down into a couple categories. First, a lot of reviewers want you to know this is nothing like Twilight. And then just as many reviewers want you to know this movie is exactly like Twilight.
And both of them are giving it 5 stars?
Yes. There is a lot of love for the character Dimitri and the Russian actor that plays him. Pretty much everyone's like, after I saw him, I researched his movies, I watch all of his movies. And then 50% of the reviewers think that you need to have read the books to enjoy the movie. And the
other 50% think the movie works great, even if you haven't read the books.
Oh.
So a lot of dissent in the things in the reviews. But I'm going to read some of the ones that were my favorite. This is from Linda Novak. She wrote, and I think she may have gotten the wrong message here. Really cool. I love watching teenagers and seeing what they're into.
What?
What they think about and where their life is heading. Good direction or bad. I have two grandchildren and they're really good kids and I'm proud of them.
Oh.
5 stars.
Wow. She's using Amazon.com to tell people that she's proud of her grandchildren.
But she's also watching this movie like, oh, this is what kids are talking about. Sucking blood and having protectors. And
I like the idea
it's
that she's talking.
Bloodstock.
Talking to her grandchildren and is like, Timothy, do you know any blood whores at school? Is that what you kids are talking? I know about all your blood whores and your spirit magic.
You been shadow kissing anyone lately?
Have you declared a magic? Sweetie, have you declared a magic at school yet?
Can you blow out that candle from across the room for grandma, please?
Do you have any tragoys you're going steady
with? This is from Deep Star. I am a reader of the Vampire Academy series. For people who have not read the series, the beginning of the movie is confusing, but it gets clarified. Do not walk out of the movie within the first 15 minutes. The few opening scenes will seem strange and will misguide you into thinking it's some kind of YA thriller movie, but it's how the author wrote the book. After that, it keeps to the environment and style that it's trying to portray. 5 stars. like you would be watching after 15 minutes, like, I'm out.
I mean, in its defense, what is art? And I also think that in general, I don't believe in ghosts until about 9 o'clock at night, especially when I'm on my own, until about 3 p.m.
What happened at 3 p.m.?
At 3 a.m. in the morning, I'm like, that was mad, Aisling. Come on now, put the hammer away. But I started watching this movie probably around, 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
8:30. And as the kind of movie went on, there were a few jumpy points where I did stop
there
it.
There were?
Yeah.
I didn't jump.
There's a few jump points and the bit where the fox is dripping are dead. And also when she comes in and werewolves, even though it's misspelled, is a little bit scary. And I did.
CGI Cywolves, which by the way, they've used real dogs and then they're like, yeah, these doesn't look so good. And then they replaced them at the last second with a drawing that the author did of them. And they're
really? Yes. Amazing.
But I actually have to say, I did go around on last night. It was another night before. And
did
check
you look for Strigoi's?
Just check the windows in case any of them flew in.
Well, they can't fly in unless you invite them. Right?
Who knows?
This movie has blown wide open everything I did believe about vampires previously.
This review here, I wanted to read it because it seems like there's something going on with this couple. The title is Great Funny Movie. And it goes, great movie for me and my wife. Movie are a must for me and my wife. It was bought digitally, so it was an instant movie night for me and the wife. Nothing but great things to say, quick and easy. 5 stars. I just love that it's all like the.
By the way, that guy, single.
He absolutely has no
single. There's no wife there.
Me and the wife, she's probably a blow-up doll.
And then finally, I'll end on Loretta's 5-star review, which is titled, this movie was okay. It took me a couple of ... And here we go. The review starts as, this movie was okay. It took me a couple of times watching it before I really got the gist of it. 5 stars.
I hate when they don't get the gist of it.
But it also is, this movie was okay. Then, do you ever watch a movie that's okay and go like, I guess I should watch it again to see what...
I guess I should
5-star it if it was okay.
If I've watched a movie 5 times and I can think it's okay, 5 stars are not used the right way.
Oh,
here.
I do that with Uber, though. Every time I get out,
I gotta give them 5 stars.
Well, that's because they're giving you stars. That's because you know they're rating you.
And they know where you live.
They don't see what you do.
They don't?
So, no, not at all. I mean, they'll probably know of an accumulation of rides that someone gave them 4 stars. But if you do it later on that night, which I normally do, I always give them 5 stars no matter what they do, because they've bothered to get out there. And that's why I feel about Vampire Academy. Someone's bothered to make a movie.
Sure.
And from my point of view, 5 stars.
Wow.
That's me and the wife.
You showed up. You made the movie.
I also
thank you for bothering and employing people.
I wanted to also Avril, who cuts all of our clips from the movie, did something that I thought was really great, and I'm going to play it for you right here. It's a super cut of every time they say Moroi, Strigoia, Dampier. Here you go. Take a listen.
The Moroi,
Strigoi,
Dampier. The Moroi,
Moroi,
Dampier,
Moroi,
Strigoi,
Strigoi,
the Strigoi,
Strigoi,
Moroi and Dampier,
Dampier,
Moroi,
Moroi,
the Strigoi,
Moroi, Dampier,
Moroi,
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 Strigoi,
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 Dampier,
Strigoi,
Strigoi,
Dampier,
Dampier,
Strigoi,
Strigoi,
Dampier,
Moroi,
Moroi,
Strigoi,
Moroi,
Strigoi,
Strigoi,
Dampier,
Strigoi,
Strigoi,
Strigoi, where once Moroi,
Strigoi,
Dampier,
Moroi,
Dampier,
Moroi,
Strigoi,
Dampier,
Moroi, Dampier,
Dampier,
Moroi,
Strigoi,
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 Strigoi, Strigoi,
Strigoi,
Strigoi,
Strigoi,
Moroi.
I'm your Dampier and you're my Moroi.
You Moroi,
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 Strigoi.
I'm Strigoi,
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 Moroi,
Strigoi,
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 And
that's,
of course,
wow.
That is shocking.
That's amazing.
And the movie is 104 minutes.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. You can follow more of what Avril's doing over at Movie Bitches, and that probably be up on YouTube. That's amazing.
Oh, funny.
Before we go, I want to ask a couple questions. First, I want to just acknowledge that there was a guy dressed like Dracula being the DJ at the Vampire Academy party.
Yes.
And I like that that's his thing, like Tiesto or something. Like, he's like, I dress up like the classic little vampire.
Right, you dress up like the gig that you're playing, you know?
Oh, you think that's what it was?
I think it's like, you know, and when he goes to like a regular high school party, wears like regular cool clothes. But at Vampire Academy, like, you dress like
so
a vampire.
So he wasn't a vampire.
I don't think
so. Oh, I thought he was a vampire who was kind of like, his thing was being like a
maybe.
That was David Guetta doing a cameo. Where was this movie set, just out of interest? Do you think it was in England or America? Like, at the start, when they ran away, did they
run away to Portland, Oregon?
Yeah, they're in Oregon.
But they run back to England in a car. How do they get from India?
Don't they say they're in Montana at one point?
What? Why so many English people in Montana?
There's a lot of British people.
Are they? This is what the Vampire Academy would lead me to believe.
When they pull back, they're definitely in the middle of the mountains or something, because they do a shot where like the camera's like pulling back from the castle into like...
Right. I don't know.
Yeah.
I wonder, did they put this many English actors in just to give it a bit of class?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
Oh, yes.
You know, when you make it classy.
I said, like, you have to have a checklist of all vampire movies, and I think when you put a British vampire in it, it steps it up.
Because they have the older history, like that, like they you know, their history goes back
the
thousands
castles
of years.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, get us some cheeky British vampires, get
Montana.
Us some zero. Oh, Montana.
The answer is Montana.
I love it.
Okay, well, there
like,
you
what
go.
Could be? It's like an old English like castle that is the academy,
and it's a very
and it's in Montana.
Yeah. But it has very like the lawns and stuff are very like the.
Preppy.
Well, and fake.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like glass.
The grass seems very artificial.
They probably shot it in like Romania in the middle
of
the
field. Artificial turf.
Yeah,
it's no real.
It's not a great sign when like that's what you're noticing. Like, I hope I never make a movie where people notice the grass.
Artificial turf.
Yeah, it's like, I was looking at that turf and I don't know if it's artificial or not.
Well, let's go around. I think we know where you stand on it. You would like to see, would you recommend people to watch this movie? We know that you believe yes, right?
I'm going to give it what I gave John, my Uber driver on the way here. Five stars for effort.
Michael,
I can't recommend the movie. I mean, I will say that I think seems like they're having a good time. It's not a movie you feel bad about yourself when you watch.
No.
Or you don't feel bad about the world when you watch it. You can tell that these are talented.
But is it fun? Is it a fun bad movie night movie? That's what I think the question
is.
I think so too.
I think so.
Yes,
yes.
I do too.
It's fun.
Yes.
It's fun. Like, I laughed a lot. It was totally fun.
Recommend it in that
it's
sense.
It's not boring.
I definitely, no, it's yes. a,
no,
it's a it's good,
not
it is
boring.
A good bad movie.
I think so.
It is a very good
that's
bad
what, and
movie.
That's what we are, and so we all agree, unanimous, around the
around
world.
Around the horn.
We love it. Now, let's talk about our guests. Michael, you have a brand new series coming out called Search Party. Tell us about that. That's November on TBS.
November on TBS. One of the co-creators, producer on the show. I'm not in the show. I do have a very small role in one episode.
How many lines?
It's not even
like
five.
Like,
not five.
Is it
like,
just,
you're an under five? Under five
I think
on this?
I was an
is
under
just
five on it.
Demoy, Moroi.
Is it
Strigoi.
Strigoi.
The show's on TBS. It stars Alia Shawkat and John Early and John Reynolds and Meredith Hagner. Very funny kind of creepy show about a group of young people who a friend of theirs goes missing.
And it's kind of serialized, right?
It's totally serialized.
Okay. I have seen the pilot. It's fantastic.
I saw the pilot too, and it's really terrific. Like?
Well, we tried and failed to get Jason to be in the show.
Oh, really?
Jason was a little bit too busy.
I was a little too busy.
It was too busy. But yeah, it's a great show.
It's a great show.
You regret it.
Yeah. I do. I wish I had been able to do it.
Yeah. It's creepy. It's got a Twin Peaks kind of thing to it.
I'm very excited to see more.
And so there's a real mystery to it. Yeah. There's a whodunit. And I don't want to give anything away because there's lots of genuine twists and turns and a big surprise ending and all that kind
of
stuff.
So November, TBS. And also, while you're here, I wanted to just talk about the movie that you recently directed, My Name is Doris, which is out. I know you've directed another movie since then, but My Name is Doris, which is so fantastic.
Oh, thanks, Paul.
It's a Sally Field film, which you can get right now. It's on
Sally
iTunes.
Field.
It's on iTunes. It has Max Greenfield in it. It's just fantastic. And if you have not seen it, definitely check it out. It's funny and it's sweet and beautiful. It's a really great movie.
Thanks, Paul.
Ashley. Now, what do you want to talk about? Obviously, I was excited because I'm a huge fan of The Fall. We talked about that. That's premiering this week in the UK.
Yes. It is the story of this kind of an academy for vampires, but not as you know it. and everyone is super attractive in it.
Is it a whole new story this time?
A whole new story with a big old vampire.
Is Gillian Anderson back in the show?
Yes, the Queen of Vampires is back. She is, so it is all the same cast.
Jamie Dornan.
And so it's the third installment, and I think the last installment.
Wait, right, Christian Grey is in it?
50 Shades of Murder is in this. There is a weird thing that happens. I play a nurse and that's all I can say.
Get murdered serially.
Obviously I can't tell you that, but what's interesting is once you say you're in something about with a hot murderer as a lead, the things people say to you, like, God, I know he's a murderer, but he's not a bad looking. If I was to get murdered,
he's a hot murderer.
It wouldn't be the worst last face you'd see, would it? People are very odd with hot psychopaths.
I would like, he looked like he gave a bath to you pretty good. Like when you get killed, he gives you a nice bath.
Yes. Yeah.
I've
never seen the show, so I didn't realize there was bathing and sexy murders.
Yeah. I saw the first season. I want to see the second season. He's a great looking guy.
Yeah. The second season goes in a different direction. It's really fun.
It would definitely cost it would knock $200 off what the mortician has to do to your body.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of the family they're getting.
He's really just trying to get you a better deal
for your funeral in many ways. And he doesn't want you to die old and ugly looking because he kills you young. So.
Yeah.
And he paints your nails.
Yeah, he does he's a good guy. Yeah. And people can follow
you.
He's a good guy.
So
by the way, when you find out what is going on up here and all the things that happened to him,
you realize he's a good guy.
People can follow you also on Twitter at WeMissB, right?
Yeah, B-A.
Yeah. Anything else that I'm not mentioning?
I don't know. What?
Are you doing stand-up around here anytime
soon? Yeah, I'm going out to Santa Monica this evening, but I don't think...
That'll
be passed by then. I was in Santa Monica when this podcast...
How was that Santa Monica show that you did?
I absolutely tanked. I absolutely tanked. I jinxed it by talking about it on the podcast. I mean, I shouldn't be doing anything really. What else am I doing? Here I've taken a few more gigs left and then I'm back in the UK for a bit and then...
So you can follow her on Twitter and you go to her website and follow out more. We can find more about Search Party. Jason,
just look after yourselves.
Yeah. What do you got? Anything?
Nothing. Oh, we're going to be doing that podcast festival.
Yes, which we just talked about during the commercials.
Oh, yeah,
so
right.
We have all that, and then
you got that lovely curly hair.
Yeah, I got these curls.
I will say that I'm on the new season of Blunt Talk, which is starting October 2nd.
Nice.
For a little bit. If you want to follow us, you can follow us on Twitter at HDTGM or on Facebook. We announce all of our movies for the live shows a week before the live shows happen. And also, I urge you to check out our mini episodes. We have a bunch of fun stuff, including all of your corrections and omissions. That's right. If you felt like we missed anything here, jump in and send us your corrections and omissions via our website or our phone number at 619-PAUL-ASKS. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. A big thank you to everybody here at Earwolf, especially to Avril Halley, who pulls all of our clips. Nate Kiley does all of our research and culls through Amazon. Marissa Zeitz, Leanna Waldron, and you for listening. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time. I told you, Sonos is the smart speaker system that streams all of your favorite music to any room or every room. Control your music with one simple app and fill your home with pure immersive sound.
Sonos is the shit. Check it out. Don't waste your time buying those cheap imitations at Best Buy or wherever you're going to get this shit. It's not the same. Spend the money, get Sonos, and get happy. It's changed our lives.
There is a creature that stalks your inbox while you sleep. The ear wolf. Once every fortnight, this lupine beast sneaks across the internet carrying only a newsletter featuring exciting podcast highlights, fan art, live tour dates, in-studio photos of stars like Mel Brooks and Susan Sarandon, and sneak peeks of podcasts yet to come. If you want these valuable treasures, all you have to do is invite it in by going to earwolf.com and subscribing to its email newsletter, and then wait for the earwolf to visit.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
It's Ashir
and Nicole
from Best Friends.
Our podcast has been out for a few months.
If you haven't listened to it,
you should.
We've already asked the big questions in life.
Imagine if we could lay eggs.
Okay, sure. I guess we...
Wouldn't that be funny if you could eat from yourself?
No, because that's like cannibalism.
Not when you eat yourself.
What?
Hmm?
Answer listener questions.
Hi, Nicole and Ashir. What happens if Ashir dies first? I mean, I've never thought of it.
Well,
I would be so sad.
Oh no, Nicole. I'm not gonna die.
Take BuzzFeed quizzes. Let's pick 8 foods and we'll give you a sex position to try.
Whoa.
This is wild.
Plus, we bring on other funny best friends to talk about their friendship.
I almost want to cry. I don't know why that really made me feel emotional, but
it's because it's pure to talk about friendship.
It's nice.
It's so nice.
It's like so rare to like articulate it, but she's always there for me. Like I think she's just somebody who
Oh, I love this. I love it so much.
Oh my god.
It's really sweet.
Best Friends with Nicole Byer and Sashir Zameda is new every Wednesday.
On Stitcher,
Apple Podcasts,
Spotify, or wherever
you get
your
podcasts.
Listen.
Oh my god.
To it.